thank you for the assembly here tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word rightly divided. We thank you that we can go to the scriptures to understand the word of truth, and that the saints will be edified, and that we can uplift one another, that we can deal with the issues that we deal with tonight in the spirit of grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen again. Now, like I say, we started off with defining some terms. We basically understand who we are in Christ, but what we need to do is the application of it, and sometimes to think about things that happen, and we need to not divide, if I was to put a title up, not to divide, but to build some bridges and to continue to fulfill our ambassadorship in Christ. And that's the important thing. As you see in the title bar, we have I Am of Christ, and we're looking at 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 1 initially, and we're going to look at some more scriptures in between. But tonight, as always, we want to come to our Bible study God's way, according to 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When we look at it in that sense there, the word division, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing when we rightly divide. But if we wrongly divide, and you guys have been hearing some of that series that we preached a while back, the issue of wrongly dividing is confusion. The issue of wrongly dividing is chaos and the lack of understanding. Okay? So we want to welcome everyone in, and let us start here with our initial text tonight. And we're going to start here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and we're going to look initially here at verses 1 through 4. That's 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verses 1 through 4. Okay? It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for wheresoever there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye yet carnal and walk as men? For while I said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye yet not carnal?" And let's go ahead and we'll look at the rest of the verses there. But let's slow down a minute here. In verse 1, we see Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, and he's telling them that they're not mature. He's telling them that he couldn't speak unto them as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Meaning their state in Christ at that time, that the doctrine that was delivered to them, they were still on the milk. You see that in verse number 2. And a lot of times, they walked as men. There was divisions among them. There was envy and strife, which causes division, okay? And they walked as men. They walked just like the other Gentiles. They didn't walk like mature believers. They were walking around with some of the issues that you know about and you've studied about in the book of Corinthians. And he brought up the issue that they were dividing themselves and using those people that were ministering to them in order to identify themselves. Now, what do we look at as an example today of the church, the body of Christ, dividing over doctrinal issues? You see people saying, I am of Baptist, and I am of Presbyterian, and I am of the Catholic Church, and I am of Lutheran, and I am of Calvin, and I am of the Reformist movement. I think back to a study that I did during the first year that we came on here, and we were talking about there in 1st and 2nd Timothy about the divisions that occurred there, and Paul wrote the letter talking about those that had a, and we'll look at verse number 2nd Timothy 3 and verse number 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And verse 7, 2 Timothy 3, 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, God would have us, as the book of Ephesians tells us, to, and let's look at the verses here. God would have us, according to Ephesians 1 and 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to you who believe, according to the workings of his mighty power. That's Ephesians 1, verses 18 and 19. In Ephesians 3, we see some other issues as Paul prays there. Verses 16, 17, 18 down, he says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God would not have us ignorant. God would have us equipped. God would have us not ever learning and not coming to the understanding of the truth, but he would have us filled with all the knowledge of him and the revelation given to him, that is being shared with us in the Scriptures. Because the whole Bible is the revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Hebrew writer writes, the volume of the book there in Hebrews chapter 10, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, it says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. The volume of the book. As God speaks to us and God reaches us with the revelation of his Son. So, God would not have us ignorant. God would not have us lacking. God would have us as being mature saints. Now, let's look at the other verse here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. And verse number 12 and 13. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Now this I say, that every one of you said, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And Corinth, during the time of the transition there in the book of Acts, there possibly could have been much disputing, much confusion, just as it was in the church in Galatia. There could have been not only Judaizers that appeared there in Galatians, and you guys have read that epistle, but in Corinth, Paul says that there were babes there. Paul says that there were people that were not mature. There were issues that came up to him and he had to address them. Now let's look here at the Apostle Paul. Paul in verse number 11, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And verse number 2, 1 Corinthians 11, 1 and 2, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you." Well, folks, in that very same chapter, in that very same chapter of 1 Corinthians, remember, he says, "Now I praise you" in verse 2, but let's think about this later on in the verses when he's admonishing them of them because of the way that they assembled together. Okay? Let's start here at 1 Corinthians 11. And could somebody pick up the posting while he has a haircut? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11 and starting at verse number 17. And go down to verse number 22. That starting at verse 17 to verse number 22. And hold your questions frozen in, lovers. We have a study going on here at this time. Alright, 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 17. Paul says, "Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." Okay? Verse 19. "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together therefore in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating every one, taketh before another his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? For what shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." Okay? Now remember at the beginning of the chapter, Paul was saying, "Now I praise you." Then when he heard what was going on and understood what was taking place, he told the carnal Corinthians, "I praise you not." The thing here, there was divisions there amongst that body of believers. They were acting in the flesh. They were carrying on as babes in Christ. We can learn and we can understand from this admonishment by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth for the young new believers and also for the believers that have been here that have understood the doctrine that it's so important to apply the doctrine. It's so important to be a bridge to those believers that may be acting contrary to sound doctrine. When we look at the scriptures and most of the biblical writers that we find, we're just going to focus on the Apostle Paul and his ministry and the application for the church, the body of Christ. But when we look here at the scriptures there in Philippians chapter 2, let's see what Paul says here to the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1, we're going to go down to verse number 5. Starting at verse 1, down to verse number 5. If we could get someone to post those scriptures. And thank you there, Jay, for filling in for Brother Wally. And Philippians 2:1. If there be therefore any consolations in Christ, any comfort of love, any if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. It's very important. Paul wanted us all on the same page. Paul wanted us to understand that we needed to be mature saints, all heading in the same direction, because we all in Christ will be heading in one direction when Christ comes back for the church. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, brethren, he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. It's very important. Paul was talking about the one accord and one mind that he would like the church, the body of Christ, to understand and to apply to their lives. He wants us on the same page. He wants us in the unity of the Spirit. He wants us to receive the doctrine, and he wants us to walk as mature believers. You know, Brother Ray did a study there the other night, and some others have done some studies on us walking in newness of life and us being mature sons and adults in the church, the body of Christ. We need to do that. We need to bridge those gaps. We need to act according to the doctrine. In our assemblies, on pal talk, with our neighbors, with fellow believers, with fellow pastors, we need to move on as ambassadors. Even though an ambassador may get into an argument, even though an ambassador may get into a situation where he's pressed against the wall, even though he might even get into a situation like Paul was in 2 Corinthians, that it affected him so much that Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our troubles which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now notice here in the book of 2 Corinthians, compared there with the book of Philippians, when he talks about some of the same issues there in the scriptures about our comfort. Okay? Now he says here in 2 Corinthians, and verse number 3 down, he says, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now notice that, brethren, and apply that doctrine in our lives. When someone else is in trouble, do we pounce on them, or do we give them the comfort and the understanding and the ability to grow in Christ? Or do we do like those that are studying the wrong information
those that are under the Torah, breaking out stones to stone them to death. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolations also abound by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our troubles which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the God which raiseth the dead. And verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doeth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. That's all pointing to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's look at Apollos here, a member of that group there in 1 Corinthians 1 and 1 Corinthians 3. Let's go here to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28. Okay, and we're going to go back to the Apostle Paul at the end of our study, but let's go here with Apollos here in verse 24. Okay? And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an quick man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogues. When Aquaeus and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expound unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now let's hold here in verse 26. Now we can understand here, as this Bible reveals to us, that he was a Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, and he was one that was mighty in the scriptures. Now, what did he know at that time in Acts? The Bible tells us, the writer Luke tells us, knowing only the baptism of John. So did he understand 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 like we do today? But we see some took him and began to expound unto him the way of God more perfectly. So they found him, and they began to deliver the doctrine to him. They remembered to give him the information, the increase from the scriptures. Let us move on here in verse 28. And when he was disposed to pass through Arcadia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he come, helpeth them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So we can understand by his testimony that he was a witness for the Word of God. We can see by his testimony that he went forth with the information that Jesus was the Christ, that he was a believer, but he had to be equipped. He had to be brought aside there to understand the grace of God in this transitional period. Okay? Let us go here to 1 Corinthians First Corinthians in chapter 1. First Corinthians and chapter 1, and let's look here at verses 10 through 24. Okay? First Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 24. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfect, joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Wow. "For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contention among you." Now note here, folks, that's Paul in his beginning, the very first chapter of his letter to the church of Corinth. "Now this I say, that every one of you, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ." Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanas, besides I know not whether I baptize any other." Let's hold a second here. We can see how an issue of water baptism was such a split there with the cardinal Corinthians. Okay? Let us continue on. Verse 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribes? Where is the disputers of the world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that is the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleaseth God, but by foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jew require a sign, and the Greek seeks after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Well, think about this issue here that they were having controversy over, that Paul addresses first in his letter to the Corinthians, delivering more information just as the information was delivered there unto Apollos in Acts chapter 18. Paul was giving the brethren there in Corinthians more understanding, more information, so that they could be together and not divided. Okay? Let us look at some more scriptures here. Let us go to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. And let's look here initially. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewardship that a man be found faithful." Now, we're going to talk about some of the issues there in 1 Timothy concerning the offices. And if you understand here, one, the very same message to Timothy, he's talking about people being found faithful. And we're going to go over that also. Let's move forward here in 1 Corinthians 4. Let's look at verse number 6. Let's start at verse number 6 and go down to verse number 21. As we have a lot of information to cover, hopefully we can get it all in. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that ye might learn in us not to think of man above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For what maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou doest not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why doest thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Verse 8. Now if ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it was appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Now look at all those things that Paul talked about here. The apostles and his apostleship, all the things that was affecting him. Verse 12. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless; being persecuted, we suffer it. Verse 13, being defamed, we entreat; we are made as the fifth of the world, and are the overscoring of things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. So it's okay to warn. It's okay, but not to shame a person. Here's the one illustration that we have from the Apostle Paul. For through ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers? For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Let us continue to understand how Christ has begotten us is through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me, for this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you unto remembrance of many ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. For what will ye, shall I say unto you, with a rod, or in love, in the spirit of meekness? Paul is making a point here that we see also being illustrated in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we see Paul using the issue of restoring such a one in the spirit of meekness. Let's look at those scriptures. Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thy also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So think back here at Paul when he's speaking there to the Corinthians there in 1 Corinthians 4, 21. Paul could have surely brought a rod, but he said in the spirit of meekness. Let's apply this doctrine to our lives, folks. Let's go to the book of Titus. Let's go to the book of Titus, and let's go to Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3, and let's look here at verse number 12. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 12. Now verse number 14. Titus chapter 3 verse 14. And let our also learn to maintain good works for necessity use, that they may not that they be not unfruitful. Okay? And verse number 15, all that are with me salute thee, greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. That's how we should greet our brethren that are in Christ. That's how we should greet the brethren instead of bringing a rod because of certain issues that we're not on the same page with. Let's go to 1 Corinthians and chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 3. And let's look here at verses, let's start here at verse number 16. And 16 to verse number 21. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 through 21. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. When Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come are all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God. Now, when you look at that, at the beginning of that chapter, when they were saying, I am of Paul and I am of Apollos, Paul here gets the revelation and he delivers it unto them, and he said, whether it be Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, understand who we are, understand the order, understand who we are of Christ, and Christ is God. Okay? And you might want to share that with some of the oneness people also. That's a little bonus for us. Let's go back up here to 1 Corinthians 3, and let's start here at verse number 5 through 10, okay? Let's go back up to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 10. It says, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watereth, but God gave the increase. Let's understand where the increase came from. So then neither he that planteth anything, neither be that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Verse number 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And I'm going to throw in verse number 11 for it. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Okay? Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abideth which he hath built up thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So let's think about the foundation that we're building upon today, folks. Let's think about, regardless to who planteth and who watereth, that the increase comes from God. Let's understand who we are in Christ today, to understand who our brethren are, and to love one another. Let's continue on here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, and I think we've already went over 1 Corinthians and chapter number 4. Yeah, we went over 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. But let's go here to 1 Corinthians, and let's look at chapter, and I got a bad reference here, I think. Yeah, let's go to 1 Corinthians 16, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and let's pick it up here in verse number 5, and let's go down through the chapter to verse number 24 real quickly. 1 Corinthians 16, and starting at verse number 5. It says, Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey wheresoever I go. For I will not see you now, but by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permits. That's a verse for the Calvinist there. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effective is open unto me, and there are many adversities. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Remember that, folks. There's other brethren out there that are sharing the same truth, just as we are. Verse 11. Now, let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. We should share grace and peace with our brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desire him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at that time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have affected themselves to the ministry of the saints, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Phocius and Amasias, that for that which was lacking on your part, that they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Wow. They refreshed Paul's spirit, and they refreshed the church of Corinthians. The church of Asia salutes you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. This salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. The grace of the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Understand that doctrine, folks. Understand that application of those brethren that were laboring together with the Apostle Paul. Let us continue on here. Let's go here to chapter number 1, 2 Corinthians and chapter 1, and let's read here at verse number 20 and go down. Verse number 20 to 22. He says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Verse 22, who has also sealed us and given us the earnestness of the Spirit in our hearts. And we'll just go ahead and read 23 and 24. It says, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith we stand. Now note here, he didn't say by the law we stand. He said, by faith we stand. And that the Corinthians were also helpers. Okay? He said, your faith, but are helpers of your joy. Now, let's go into 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, and let's read the passages 1 through 17. Says, but I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I made you sorry, who is then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorrow by me? As I wrote this same unto you, least when I came, I should not have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. Now think about that. Paul had just written that first letter, and now he's delivering some more information to the church at Corinth. Verse 4. For out of the mouth, out of much affliction and agony of the heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundant unto you. Paul is pouring his heart out there to the church of Corinth. But if any have caused grief, he has not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficiency to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise ye ought to rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love towards him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sake forgive I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. For as much when I came to Taurus to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was open unto me of the Lord, I have no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always calls us to triumph in Christ, and to make manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet Savior of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the Savior of death unto death, and to the other the Savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God and the sight of God speak we in Christ. Some very good scripture there in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 to understand. Paul, after he admonishes them with the letter, Paul pours his heart out to that assembly. He shows his love for them. He speaks to them about forgiveness. He speaks to them in a very way that Paul delivers unto them and shows them how important they are to mature in the doctrine that he's delivering unto them. Okay? Let us continue here. We have a few minutes to go. We may go over, but we're going to get through a few passages here for our edification. Let us continue here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. And let us start here at verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 through 18. Yeah, Wally, I threw that in for you there, brother. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 1 through 18 says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Remember that, folks. Workers together. And we're talking about coming together in fellowship. For he said, I have heard thee in times accepted, and in the day of salvation have I scorned thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be found blameless. He wants our ministry to be found blameless, folks. But in all things approve ourselves as the ministers of God, and much patience in afflictions and necessities and distresses and stripes and imprisonment and heritude and labor and washing and fasting, but pureness by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. By the word of the truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Some wonderful doctrine here, folks. by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and beheld we live, as chastened and not killed. Okay? You can chasten one, but don't kill him. As sorrow, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, and having nothing, and yet possessing all things. He says, O ye Corinthians, open mouth, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged, ye are not constrained in us, but ye are constrained in your own bowels. Now for a reprehense in the same, I speak as unto my children, but ye also enlarge. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what commune has light with darkness, and what concord has Christ with Bela, and what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from amongst them, and be ye separate. Be ye sanctified. Be ye set apart, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Well, we know there in the book of Titus again, Titus chapter number 2, Titus 2 verses 11 through 15, the Word of God says, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a particular people zealous of good works. These things speak and result and exalt and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We are a particular people zealous of good works. That's the point here, that he's trying to get over to those cardinal believers. As we get ready to close here, folks, we could stretch it out into another study, but we want to address some more doctrine. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another, and love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, back to the Corinthian believers, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in ye all. But unto everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man. Now that he ascended, what is it but he that also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Let's continue on here in a few passages. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Remember, in that passage, verse 11, and he gave past tense. Till we all come in, excuse me, till we all come into unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 13, unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, not one ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 14, that we henceforth no more be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every whim of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitted jointly together and compacted by that every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Two more verses here, folks. Verse 17, that I say and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles, walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling has given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Wow. Sounds like Paul when he spoke to the church at Philippi there in a few of those verses. We're going to wind it down here, folks. I have a few more verses. One verse here I had forgot, and Sister Jeannie had brought it to my attention. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 9 tells us, a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. I have confidence in you, do the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but that he that trouble you shall bear him judgment wherever he be. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they which even cut off were troubled you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by lovers serve one another. And verse 14, 15, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Folks, if we could think of one thing today that we wanted to hit home with the message tonight, is to love one another, know who we are in Christ, to labor together, and understand when one believer is not as mature as the other believer, and I raise my hand up first, folks, that we are not to take an occasion of the flesh, that we should be uplifting and edifying the church, the body of Christ today. And we'll close here with the verse there in 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians and chapter number 12. And let's pick it up at verse 24 and go to verse 27, okay?
it says here in verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no chisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the assembly here tonight. We thank you for the study. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word, that we believe your word, and that the doctrine and the information, that we may apply this information to our lives, that we can edify others, that we can be fully equipped, that we can be mature in the information and the doctrine that we share here. And we thank you for the opportunity, and we give thanks, as 1 Corinthians 15 explains to us, that we continue on in one accord, and that we not devour one another and consume one another and destroy one another, because we understand that we are the parts of a one body, and that Christ is the head, and we give honor and glory to him, and that we continue our ambassadorship in the service of our Lord to get the gospel out today, to get the information out today so that sinners can be saved. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I deliver unto you